Welcome to Bonafide HPP, a podcast designed to educate and support the families and caregivers of those affected by hypophosphatasia. As a mother and caregiver, host Deborah Fowler has discussions about this rare genetic bone disease with people from around the world. Join Deborah now as she speaks with this week's guest.
Hi, I'm Cindy Reeser. I'm the project coordinator for Soft Bones, as well as I'm an HPP patient myself, caregiver, and advocate. I'm sitting in for Deborah Fowler today. Today's guest is Lindsay Wilson. Lindsay is an HPP patient, caregiver, advocate, and she is one of Soft Bones region leads for the Central Region. Thank you so much for joining us today and agreeing to openly share your story with the world.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here. I really appreciate this opportunity to be an advocate for the HPP community. It means a lot to share my voice and share my experience with all of you.
Thank you again. So let's just jump right in. Is there anything you want to tell our listeners in general about yourself before getting into your HPP story?
Well, we'll get right in, but before that, I'm Lindsay. I have hypophosphatasia. I have four kids. Three of them have HPP, and I've been married for 18 years. Of course, my husband didn't know he was marrying a rare disease girl back then, and I used to be a high school teacher, and then I actually became a, advocate for food allergies, actually, because my second son has quite severe food allergies. So at one point, I was really involved as a food blogger, recipe developer, and then actually as HPP kind of took more out of my life and really impacted my health overall, I've actually kind of shifted my focus of my life where I'm now more of an advocate and working as a photographer and blogger for people with chronic disease and rare disease and kind of sharing my story and trying to advocate and make other people visible that also live with this.
So we know it can take years for HPP patients to receive an accurate diagnosis. This is kind of a multi-part question. So if you could cover how long it did take for you to receive your diagnosis, were there signs and symptoms along the way that were overlooked? And do you think an earlier diagnosis would have impacted you differently?
Yeah, for sure. I really appreciate this opportunity because I feel like my diagnostic journey probably resonates with so many people in the hypophosphatasia community. So I actually wasn't diagnosed until I was 38 years old. I am 40 now, but it's interesting that I truly had signs of this disease from the moment I was born. I was born with torticollis of the neck. So my head fell to the side when I started sitting and crawling. And I joke that I truly needed physical therapy since the moment I was born, almost my entire life. And I also lost my two bottom teeth as a toddler. And at the same time, in the small farm town that I grew up in, we had a family practitioner for our dentist. And my mom was losing her first adult tooth as I was losing my baby teeth. So this generational impact of the disease was actually quite clear, but if you're unaware of how this presents, you would just think maybe that's bad luck. And from there, I grew up in a dance company. I actually didn't have significant injuries at that point. It actually almost was teaching me how to really move in space. And in a way, it helped me cope with hypophosphatasia because I really learned how to manage my body, how to learn proprioception, how to strengthen parts of my body. So my physical therapist and a lot of people that have now worked with me agree that that actually has kind of helped me overcome this disease in many ways throughout my life. Then I started running, and by chance, my high school cross country coach is also named National Cross Country Coach of the Year. So he's very exceptional at understanding biomechanics and how the body moves in space and how to improve your running form to improve your performance as an athlete. And he noticed very clearly that I had abnormal running gait. I walked with a limp. He clearly noted that I had bow legs. And he actually, by chance, had my mom as a student when he was a beginning teacher. And he noticed that she had bow legs and she walked with a limp. So he was very understanding of the abnormal biomechanics we had. But of course, in his mind, he didn't think there was something as big as what was really going on. And at one point when I was an athlete, he told me, Lindsay, you have the heart of a state champion, but you don't have the DNA for it. And he was so right. He was really onto something. He knew that there was like some underlying cause of the abnormalities that I had, and he saw it in my mom. But of course, no one expected that we had this rare disease that was just kind of permeating through our genetics, through our history. And so he sent me off to a podiatrist across the state who diagnosed me with a leg length discrepancy and noted that I had incredibly tight IT bands that he was willing to cut and release to help because he just had honestly never seen anyone with IT bands that tight. So my nickname in high school was Eileen because I had one leg longer than the other one and I walked with a limp. And I just pushed through all that. I loved being an athlete. In a lot of ways, it helped me overcome the disease that I didn't know I had. I knew that there was something wrong with me. I had chronic shin splints. I had chronic stress fractures. I had chronic severe hip pain, back pain, neck pain. I had just a lot of chronic pain. But at the same point, I really didn't know anything was wrong with me. So I just thought, you know, I just needed to work harder and overcome it. And as time went on, I continued to have injuries. I continued to be active in college. I actually had significant running injuries in college where I grew up in Michigan and I actually traveled to Canada to a very specific physical therapist to help me. And again, it was that chronic hip and lower back pain that I had. It's just the disease really permeated through everything in my life. As time went on, I had kidney stones. I was tested for leukemia. I had all kinds of different health problems that seemed like bad luck. They didn't really seem connected, but they also seemed strange that someone that seemed so healthy on the outside had so many underlying health conditions. And fast forward to when I was 38 years old, I had thyroid surgery. I was very sick from that. And I was just laying on the ground, sleeping a lot because my thyroid went so low. And eventually I started thyroid medicine and I started running again because in my mind, I thought, I'm going to overcome this. I am going to work on my mental and physical health. I'm going to get stronger and I'm going to move on and I'm going to get through this. So I started running every day until all of a sudden, the last day I ever ran, I had severe leg pain again that I pushed through for 8 miles until when I stopped, I could barely walk. And, you know, again, I just pushed through it and I kind of had that negative self-talk of like, oh, I must have not stretched enough. Oh, I maybe needed to wear a different pair of shoes. Maybe I didn't think about where I was stepping and I, you know, stepped on a rock wrong. Just a lot of that internalization of maybe I'm doing this and something might be wrong with me, not an underlying disease that's just part of me. And one day, a few days after that, I was trying to get my toddler into the car outside and my neighbor's a nurse and she noticed that I was limping really bad. And she says, you have a stress fracture. And I thought, wow, I can't believe that. I mean, I always had that in high school, but I can't believe maybe I'm really going through that again. And so luckily I ended up into a really compassionate and really forward-thinking, pragmatic, orthopedic PA. And she looked at me immediately and thought, wow, you have a traumatic injury, but you also have non-trauma to cause it. And her initial thought was I might have something metabolic going on. So she ran a metabolic panel and I had low alkaline phosphatase. Come to find out, I had been going to a family care doctor for almost the last decade. And I found a document that had 46 pages of blood work and every other page was low alkaline phosphatase for 10 years. And the interesting thing with hypophosphatasia is that, you know, getting an initial diagnosis worked up from this disease is very simple and very accessible to essentially everyone. And that had been right in front of me the entire time. But here I was getting tested for Lyme disease or mold or allergies or the leukemia was a legitimate thing where my white blood cell count really was low. But it was all of these things that were just outliers. And this disease really was right there the entire time with the low alk phos. And so once she did that initial workup, it became pretty clear that, you know, I likely had this disease. I had the very clear bow legs. Once I looked into my family history, I had a very clear genealogy of this disease running through generations within my family. From there, I was sent to a head bone endocrinologist within the state that I live in, but she had preconceptions of me that I had what appeared to be on paper of this disease, but I didn't necessarily appear what her perception of a rare disease was. So once my low alkaline phosphatase came back and the B6 was all classic for hypophosphatasia, she did refer me to a geneticist, but the wait for a geneticist at the time in my state was 12 months. And I thought, I cannot continue going on with a broken leg that is not healing, trying to take care of four kids, and just wait indefinitely or a year until I could start treatment. Because at that point, I thought, if I really have this disease, I definitely need this treatment because my quality of life is so low and I'm struggling. I am not able to walk. I'm not able to take care of my kids. I'm definitely not able to do things that I enjoy because of my fractures and the pain and the disability from the disease. So then I went to another head bone endocrinologist in the state that had a very similar view and direction for me. At the time, I had found a doctor that specializes in hypophosphatasia across the country. And I did actually have an appointment with her coming up. And that doctor here in the state did recommend that I go to her. And in the meantime, I actually called up University of Michigan across the country where I'm from. And they were actually able to get me in to see them very quickly, partially because I actually did some digging on social media and I found out that I had an extended family member diagnosed with hypophosphatasia. So because of that, I had a very clear genetic mutation that was outlined in my family that I was able to share with the genetics team, and they were able to kind of bring my case along much quicker, and they were very interested in kind of pulling this together for me. So I was able to get to a geneticist, get genetically diagnosed. At the same time, I was working on a genetic diagnosis for my kids. Three of my kids had very clear low alkaline phosphatase the first time it was ever drawn, and then that ended up leading to a genetic confirmation for three of them as well. And then I headed off across the country to meet with a head endocrinologist that honestly was like a huge turning point and an incredibly huge gift in my rare disease journey in life, where she confirmed my diagnosis. She validated my experience. She looked into me as a whole person. She wrote me a prescription for treatment. I very shortly, in the big scheme of things, started injection treatment not too long after, maybe about 1 to 2 months after seeing her. And eventually I had worked on getting my leg healed. I started working on realizing that, wow, I might actually have some underlying bone abnormalities that are generating my pain, not just, you know, generic bone pain. There might be actual structural difficulties that are causing all of this pain. So I eventually was diagnosed with hip abnormalities, hip instability, hip dysplasia. I recently had two big hip surgeries where I had hip preservation. And I'm also now going through the process of getting diagnosed with different abnormalities in my spine and a degenerative spine. These are all things where if I would have had an earlier diagnosis, I absolutely would have changed decisions I made. I would have changed the course of my life. Ironically, I actually became a high school teacher and my degree is in physical education. So it's quite ironic for someone with a rare bone disease to be a PE teacher, you know, really pushing their body all day. It just really doesn't work. And it's not a way to support yourself with trying to manage this. And I also would have chosen sports and athletics that wouldn't have pushed my body so hard. I would have absolutely been gentler with myself. I definitely would have changed the course of my life if I would have known I had this. I personally would have also chosen to start treatment as soon as it would have been offered to me if I would have had an earlier diagnosis. So, you know, delayed diagnosis definitely can impact us all. Of course, my kids were not diagnosed until after they were born as well. So that impacted, you know, their quality of life and their direction and their medical care. But now that they are diagnosed, I'm able to follow them and give them the correct care. But, you know, you're also peeling back layers, even for small children that get diagnosed after birth. And on my diagnostic journey, one thing that has been really key for me is actually working with a pain specialist. So at one point, I went to a spine surgeon who recommended a pain specialist for me. And at first I was kind of caught off guard because I thought, you know, this is a chronic disease and I'm in chronic pain essentially every day that I'm trying to get through. So if a pain management specialist is just going to prescribe me opiates, then that is really not something that's feasible because this is like an all day, every day thing. And to my surprise, the pain specialist really has helped me incredibly on this journey that I'm still on right now, where he's put me in touch with some of the head surgeons that need to treat my orthopedic problems, that are also, you know, working on different injections or different treatments that he can offer to me to help me manage my pain or manage the different bone abnormalities that I have. That has been like an incredible part of my journey. So, you know, it's been quite a process, but I think that my experience probably reflects a lot of other patients' experiences because this is a genetic disorder. So at some point, someone along that family history is going to get diagnosed during the middle of their life. So it has to start somewhere with someone. So it started with me, just like it's probably starting with plenty of other people that are going through this right now also.
You've been through so much. If you could tell us a little bit more in depth on what you do to treat HPP specifically and how you manage your other diagnoses, symptoms, and bone abnormalities.
Absolutely. So I first and foremost treat my disease hypophosphatasia with the injection treatment. That has been key for me. I personally find a lot of success with it, and I'm really thankful that even though I have a rare disease, my rare disease has a treatment. I also do physical therapy. I, again, joke that I've never graduated from physical therapy, but I'm working so hard to get through that. And I'm also very dedicated to doing physical therapy exercises at home because I want to strengthen my muscles to support my bones. I also have found that for me personally, going to head physicians of departments, typically at the main university hospital, has been key for me to treat my disease because typically I need a very specialized specialist that is a researcher, that works with the team, that is willing to think outside of the box, that is willing to learn new things because almost all of my physicians have never had another patient with hypophosphatasia. So they're kind of learning as we go. And it's really important to kind of keep that mindset of working as a team. So being open that they're going to kind of learn along with me, but also being strong enough to take the chance of trying out a new doctor that can maybe help me. I've also found a way to treat this disease is definitely with a nephrologist because I do have my kidneys impacted from hypophosphatasia. And I also have like numerous bone abnormalities. So one key for me that I used to not do, because I used to have that mentality of I'm not bad enough. This isn't that bad. I can do this. Nothing's wrong with me. When in fact, I actually do have multiple bone abnormalities and structural differences. So I do find surgeons, orthopedic surgeons are really important, even though I might not always have surgery on a specific problem that I have. The orthopedic specialists are really able to kind of image and look into what my options are so I can work through that pain generator for sure.
Okay, so is there anything else that you would want the world to know about HPP?
Well, I would want the world to know that this disease can appear invisible, but everyone living with HPP wants to be visible and they just want to be accepted for who they are. And one way that we can accept each other, ourselves, and other people living with it is to really recognize that HPP patients are incredibly strong and they are living through so much and they are managing so many things. Sometimes they think that they've managed one thing and then another thing comes up. Most people with HPP are both a patient and a caregiver because it is genetic. So they might be managing their own disease, but then a family member above them would also have the disease. And many people with this disease also have children with the disease. So it really does have a unique dynamic of the patient caregiver impact there. And a lot of people think, okay, you're just going to get your diagnosis, and then it's going to be rainbows and butterflies because it's just a bone disease. So just don't get any fractures and you'll be fine. But the thing is this is a rare metabolic disease. So it actually impacts every cell in our body. So it's actually quite a process to go through your life managing this. And especially if you've lived undiagnosed, you're going to have to kind of go back and see kind of what may be underlying that's causing all of these other health problems you have. And, you know, another thing I would like to share is that a lot of people can think that people with HPP can present as like normal, healthy, strong people, which we are, but we're also not normal at the same time. We also are fighting what is often really invisible and really impacting every area, every aspect of our life. And we are doing the best we can just to make through small things that other people might easily do. Like most people might not realize that we're spending hours a day driving to a specialist downtown and working through our fears or insecurities or worries about how this disease might impact us or what news we might get or if we're strong enough to face another surgery or another injury. And it really does take a lot of strength to face this day in, day out. So I just want the world to know that everyone with hypophosphatasia is incredibly strong and they're fighting an invisible story that most people don't see.
Well, thank you so much for sharing your journey with us today. All of our HPP journeys are so unique yet so similar in many ways. I know I can resonate with so many different parts of your stories, and I'm sure other patients are going to be able to as well. By sharing our stories, it really helps other patients to relate and know that they're not alone and they're not the first one to experience this. So that is it for today's podcast. You've been listening to Bonafide HPP, the podcast of Soft Bones, the U.S. Hypophosphatasia Foundation.
This has been a production of Bonafide HPP, the official podcast of Soft Bones, the U.S. Hypophosphatasia Foundation. For more information, you can go to www.softbones.org, or to recommend a guest to be featured on Bonafide HPP, email us at info@softbones.org.